Everybody is familiar with the word Om. Mm-hmm. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, we have Eastern background. But Om is just a linguistically structured way of saying that this is silence, you know. It's the sound of silence, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you hear it, it's like sounds like Om. And I may have a biased tendency here because of the background, yes. the Eastern background, but just kind of hear it and see whatever, you can give it whatever name you want to, whatever it sounds like. To me, it just sounds like Om, you know? Like, see, I mean, I can hear it now, Om.
But it's like, got the seed sounds and the,
right.
And
well, discovered by somebody in deep meditation 5,000 years ago or something? Or
well, you just discovered it today.
Yeah, right.
Right? You heard it, right? You heard it and you just... If I want to tell you what I'm hearing, I will have to use a language. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, I'm hearing Om. Because it sounds like it, you know. That's pretty much it. So it's
I've never had that experience. I've had several mystical experiences, but nothing connected with Om, so...
You can't hear? Did you not hear the sound?
No.
Oh, okay. and you were using the earplugs?
I always use earplugs. So that's a never been experience for me, and I always kind of wondered if it was somebody, you know, in ancient times, through deep meditation initially discovered this.
There's nothing mystical about it. It's just an experience of silence. Just like space, you know, it's all-pervading, all-encompassing, like a substratum to anything that is visual, right? Mm-hmm. So it is with the sound. It's kind of a substratum, the undercurrent. So like, just like, you know, taking away all the sounds, what will remain is,
yes.
or taking away all the matter, what will remain is space, like that, yeah. And so this coin, I like to call it the coin of consciousness, one side is space, the other side is silence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to the extent you practice anchoring into that space and silence. So, I mean, there are so many mystical theories and esoteric traditions. It's very simple. Equanimity. You know? Here we train to cultivate equanimity. That's the whole idea. Last Sunday we talked about how just shifting your awareness from the person to the space surrounding this person. You know, we're talking about how when we have an argument with our spouse, so just shifting your attention from this boundary, the enclosed person to stuff that surrounds it, so space, quickly releases your attention. It's a release. And for some reason, you don't react to your spouse. Now imagine also combining silence with it, right? So you are looking at the space surrounding the person, and you are trying to hear the gaps of silence between the words that the person is saying to you. There's no way you will react to any kind of criticism, any kind of attack. Anything, you know? Just taking your attention to the gaps of silence between the words. And it's not very easy.
Yeah.
But I'm criticizing you and just really going crazy with that. It's hard to maintain equanimity.
Exactly.
So quickly anchoring into the space and the undercurrent of silence, the gaps that exist. Right? I'm talking right now, there is a gap between the words. In fact, if you quickly transcend the person and the words, you will be able to understand the person better. You will listen. You will listen to what the person is saying. You will always have, just all of a sudden, you will have this, it's an expansion, right? Space is an expansion. Silence is an expansive state. Mm-hmm. What happens when you expand? You're able to embrace, right?
Because
when there is constriction, there is the space for embracing somebody or embracing anything. But when there is expansion, then there is a space for embracing. You know what I mean by embracing? How we can learn to embrace somebody, no matter what. That can happen only if we cultivate equanimity. You know?
It's easier.
Not reacting doesn't mean not acting. We have talked about this many times. In fact, when we don't react, we tend to act creatively. What's that action? The action is of listening. The action is of embracing. Action of understanding. And it's very technical, right? Expansion means more space, right? Constriction means not enough space for. We have this saying, give space to all. You should give space to all to live. What that really means, you know, means this only.
So the practice off the mat often starts with people that we don't have a lot of attachment to.
And then moving
closer, you know, maybe picking up, you know, a colleague that really pushes your buttons. And you're not going to see them. I mean, you see them every day, but you don't go home to them. So beginning to work with that person, and you can move home to your wife or your husband.
That's a really good idea.
You know.
Whenever you feel like taking a litmus test on equanimity, then experiment at home.
Even an angry child.
Yeah. It can be very irritating, right?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you deal with an angry child? Quickly shift your attention from the child to the space surrounding the child.
One of the things we say to the child is, you're not listening to me.
Yeah, right.
Although it's easy to do it with a child, but that much difficult to do it with an adult. In my personal
very good
experience.
Yeah. Why is that?
I think the children are made so, is it the oxytocin? The way their facial structure is, that there is secretion of oxytocin. Mm-hmm. So the moment you become aware of it, you know, the love, the compassion arises. But it becomes difficult when you look at the adult forms of human beings.
Well, there are more, what is it called? We have made some kind of an image about everybody, right? Mm-hmm. It's called a mental formation. It's a mental formation. You must have made some image about me, right? So, with an adult, we always work from that perspective. Right? There is always that image in the mind, and that's why there is still that contriction there. But space and silence can help you go beyond that image. There's a perception there, right? You work with already existing perception that this person is good or bad, or.
And then there is a hope that this is impermanent. I think that's another thing to it, that we know it will end if we, whether it's the sound or
Or sight. Right. And the way to make that happen is to first go underneath the impermanence. Right? Unless you are anchored in the sound of silence, it will be very difficult to notice the beginning and end. You know, like a field versus a wave in the field. You see? Versus, you know, like that. So you quickly get into the field so that you can look at all the waves that arise and cease in the field. And our field, our portal, is space and silence. I think sooner or sooner than later, I think we will have some scientific understanding of the substrata.
I find it very difficult, you know, when you're talking to them, understanding, but at another level, I feel like I'm spacing out.
Well,
so if I look at you and feel and expand the space around you, I'm spacing out.
Yeah, there is a local teacher who warned me about this issue actually. He said to me that don't use the word spaceness. Use the word spaciousness. So spaceness is different from spaciousness.
That I understand.
Yeah, so spacing out is, that means you are not expanding your awareness. You are ignoring. That is called
I'm not ignoring.
So, or your attention is, ignoring means, like right now I'm looking at you. If I ignore you and just look at the space, that's spaceness. If I look at you and the space surrounding, that is spaciousness. Spaciousness means...
with attention.
Yes.
Right, it's all encompassing. So you don't ignore anything.
Right.
You're just expanding it. You are having a broader perspective on everything. That's the whole thing.
So maybe expansion is even a... I'm seeing you and I'm expanding my awareness of you.
There you go. Beautiful.
So I could be looking you in the eyes like this and still see you expanded.
Right. Look at me. Also look at the space surrounding me from the outermost edges of your eyes. Like right now, I'm looking at all of you, but I'm also seeing, you see this?
Yes.
I'm just seeing all this space around me. See the space. Just have the intention of just seeing the space.
Okay, I got it.
And it will come with practice, the open eye meditation practice.
Mm-hmm. I love
that. But you'll have to begin with the breath, then the space in the nostrils, then the space around you. And the more you practice, the more you can actually see the space around you.
Okay.
So seeing the space, hearing the silence,
yes.
And then feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
That will be the key. You can actually feel the space. You can feel the silence.
Well, I can do that with myself, too.
There you go.
I mean, if I get agitated, you know, I'll go to the space through the nose. I'll start with the nose. Mm-hmm. This is when I'm alone, of course. I can't do it instantaneously yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I can actually feel my body expanding. I don't know if that's true what I said.
Instead of body expanding, expand beyond the body. So you're closing your eyes, then there's this sense of you. And then now there is also the sense of what surrounds you. You know, not just you, but what surrounds you. Just...
which is calming to me.
Right.
It's very calming.
It is.
As soon as I go into my, you know, focus on my body, forget it.
That's
something
to get a good practice. It's calming. Calming is part of gaining attention.
Yeah.
You must not stay too much with the body to avoid body centeredness. So, doesn't mean we don't feel it. No.
Yes, I know it.
We are not body center.
Thank you.
But sooner than later, I feel the physicist and the mathematicians will have, you know, the scientific correlations for space and silence.
Mm.
I mean, for example, the microwave background radiation.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
If you turn on your TV and there are no channels, you see, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're seeing the background radiation on the screen, but you can also hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can hear the background radiation.
Mm.
So this microwave background radiation could be is what we are hearing when we close our eyes and have the earplugs, and when we are hearing the home, could be the microwave background radiation, meaning the vibrational aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And what is the microwave background radiation? It's the substratum of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the it's that which is coming from the baby universe.
Yeah.
So there might be in future a correlation between microwave background radiation and what we're actually hearing, you know.
Interesting.
So
mm-hmm.
and even the super strings, you know, you cannot obviously detect the super string, the smallest unit, although mathematical right now, the smallest unit of matter, right?
It's what is it called?
Superstring.
Superstring?
Or string. String?
Mm-hmm.
It's a vibrational element.
Uh-huh.
And non-dimensional.
Mm.
Right? So, in the laboratory, we have been able to detect an atom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even quarks, but not the string. You cannot actually see the string in the lab. And they say that in order to see the string, you will have to create a lab or the particle accelerator, which is as big as the galaxy. That much
energy. We don't want to pay those kind of taxes.
That much energy you will need to actually detect it in a, in a particle accelerator.
Amazing.
But it will happen sooner than later. And we might be right now actually experiencing hearing the vibrations of the strings.
Mm.
You know, I mean, these are all hypotheses, okay? I'm just throwing it out.
Yeah.
Contemplate on it.
When you guys talk about hearing this, I've never had the experience of hearing anything, but under deep meditation I have a sense of a background vibration.
Right.
But do you actually hear something when you're in silence?
Yeah.
You actually hear and then you feel.
Mm.
And we haven't gone to the feeling part of it.
Interesting. Yeah.
We haven't gone to the feeling part, but that's really ultimately